The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, home of the best podcasts like Byer Brown Tech and Stuff at bbtas.com and The Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Kapwa from Kronos. This is the resident Klingon and Brian Dedimal.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Listen to me! You've got our communicators. The boxes we're talking to. We need to talk to the ship.
Blah, blah, blah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I'm your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that's all one word, at gmail.com. In fact, tonight's show is a result of an email we received at loutrekshow@gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point. We will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, just by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. And tonight we have another of our interview series, and this is going to be in relation to Starbase Indy. I didn't know that they were going to be doing this, but Starbase Indy will be having some entertainment, and Brian and I will be talking about that. What do you think, Brian?
I think it's interesting. We get to sneak preview what's coming up at the convention. I always love sneak previews.
So how was your week this week?
I've been sick.
You've been sick?
I've been coughing really bad. If you tried to do an interview yesterday, you would have never had me because I was so bad. About every 2 minutes, I was hacking my lungs out.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on a... One tablet a day antibiotic, if that tells you just how strong of an antibiotic I'm taking.
Sounds like Z-Pak.
No, worse than, stronger than Z-Pak.
Really?
The one above it.
Erythromycin?
Something like that. It's one great big horse pill you take once a day.
How's your tummy feel?
Better than it was before.
Oh, really? No, I can't take that stuff, man. It rips my stomach up, and I've got a big stomach to rip up. Okay, well then, have you ever heard of a band called 5-Year Mission, Brian?
No, I have not. This is brand new to me.
It's new to me too, but not for long because I got an email from them wishing to come on the show. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we should?
I think we ought to have them.
Why not? Why don't we just do it right now? How about Mike Rittenhouse? Mike, are you there with us?
I am.
Hey, that was quick. You got on fast. And your bandmate, Chris Spurgeon.
Yeah, I'm here.
And
that's right.
Chris is there. And somewhere in the background, we also have Andy Fark.
Correct.
He's not farking around, is he?
Oh, God. Here comes the good jokes.
I don't know about good, but at least I had to give that a try. Who wants to be the spokesman? Who started this band?
I guess that would be me.
And you will be?
Mike.
Mike, okay, because we all don't know your voices. So, Mike, tell us how it all started and tell us about the band.
Well, it started probably like a year and a half ago. It was just an idea I had. I wanted to write and record a song for every episode of Star Trek. And I contacted my friend Noah, who I knew was a big sci-fi nerd like me, and he's also in a band locally. And asked him if he wanted to join me, and he loved it, so we got together and just started writing songs, and once we got into it, we realized that we needed to add more people to the band, because it was going to be a pretty big project, and it was turning out so good, we knew we wanted to take it a lot farther. So we had added a few more people to the band, and now we're almost done with the album, and we're getting ready to play our first couple of shows, and it's just kind of taking off from here. The third person that we added to the band is Chris, who's here with me tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we also, another guy named Patrick O'Connor, and then Andy Fark is the last person that we added to the band.
Hmm. Okay. And it looks like everybody except Andy plays the guitar, the bass, the keys, vocal, and even write the songs.
Somebody's got to play drums.
Uh-huh. Bet. I can dig it. All right, well, your first song was...
Well, the first song that I wrote for the project was The Cage. That's the one that I showed to Noah to see if he was interested. The first song that we released online recently is Mary. That's the first song that we finished for the album, and we made a video for it, mm-hmm. and we stuck it up there, and so far people seem to be going crazy for it.
Bonk, bonk. Here's what I was telling you earlier, and this is going to be edit points. Our record is 19 edit points with Scarlett Palmer, who played Naomi Wildman on Star Trek Voyager. So,
yeah, I listened to that podcast.
Okay, so anyway,
well, she was breaking in and out throughout almost the whole interview too, so it didn't help matters any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was on a cell phone, right?
Yes, she was.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so we're not going to do that no more. So anyway, okay. So you guys have heard the show. What do you think of our show? Give us some feedback.
I have to be honest. I've only listened to a few of them because I didn't really discover it until I started looking at the Starbase Indie site. Mm. But I enjoy it. I mean, you know, you guys, it's fun to listen to, and you know, you guys are talking about one of my favorite subjects. So I mean, that's definitely an attraction for me.
Absolutely. You know something, I just went to starbaseindie.com, and would you believe, Brian, our banner is right there on the front page.
What? You mean we've been promoted again?
Promoted? My goodness, we're fleet admirals here. I had no
idea. Yeah,
Kim
likes us because we do talk about Starbase, and we do try to put Starbase in a good light whenever we can.
Wow.
So Kim likes us.
Wait till I send her some love mail after this show. That is great. Okay, then you guys will be at Starbase Indy.
We will.
You will.
Yes.
Please bring your canned foods. We need more Borgs.
You need more what? Oh, explain that, Brian.
What happened was last year my first officer challenged every ship in the region, which is Starbase 6, to basically whoever brought the most canned foods in would get a prize. Well, it's now ballooned to a Starbase Indie project to see how many people can bring in canned foods to increase the 600 cans that the Gorkon's initially going to be bringing in to actually begin the cube. And then it's all going to Gleaners Food Bank of Indiana. Help feed needy people.
Okay. All right, got that, guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
sounds good.
Now, your first song was Miri. No, right. The Cage, right?
Yeah, the first song that I wrote was The Cage.
Okay. Can we play one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Which one would you like to hear?
Why don't you play Mary?
Yeah, thank you. Because I kind of like that one. Here we go.
Mr. Lovey Dovey, or Kevin.
That was 5-Year Mission with Miri, also known as Bonk Bonk. And I was mentioning to the guys in chat while we were listening to this that you said this was one of Patrick's songs, and it's amazing, his blah, blah, blah in the beginning. It sounded just like Kirk.
He spent hours on that.
Really?
I don't know.
It took me a minute after you got about halfway through the song to realize which episode you guys were talking about, because I always knew her as Mary, not Miri. So it took me a while after I after the disease started going in and the age thing, I knew exactly who you guys were, which show, which episode it was. So it's unique to listen to your music and actually know which episode you're talking about.
It definitely adds to the music when you've seen the episodes. Or a lot of the episodes I hadn't seen. This is Chris, by the way. I hadn't seen before I heard the songs, and I heard the songs and I went back and watched the episodes, and it definitely you watch them differently.
Absolutely.
Heard our songs.
Yes, and you know, I'm going to have a link to your website in the main page right there. So people are going to be able to go right to the main page and see those two videos. And, yeah, a bunk bunk in the head. Yeah. Brian didn't know it was Miri. Just like, ask him to say Star Trek.
Oh, no, we're not even going to start this one.
Well, he may never figure
it out. Just like we're putting the you-know-what out today. We're not going to have our two on the you-know-what.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not.
Absolutely we are.
You guys will figure it out here in a minute, because he'll make you say Navy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you said that accidentally or if that was on purpose, but that's...
That was on purpose, because I know you're eventually going to make them say it, so might as well get them out of the way now.
Well, I mean, you know, we could save the next one for later, or, you know, you can do it now.
Yeah, we'll throw it in somewhere.
Okay.
We always do.
All right. Okay, so tell us where you guys are going to be playing soon.
Well, this coming Saturday, we'll be playing at the Melody Inn here in Indianapolis. And then on October 14th, we'll also be playing at the Melody Inn with a band from Japan.
P-Lander Z.
All right. And then, of course, we'll be performing at Starbase Indy. That's on Thanksgiving weekend here in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And between then and now, we should have a lot. We should have our album ready by Starbase Indy, and we'll probably post a couple more videos as we get them finished.
Sure. Okay. Well, that would be the Melody Inn in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where Brian goes to cook his meth lab.
Oh, you're bad.
I'm just kidding, Mr. FBI. I'm just kidding. Okay, now tell us about your introduction.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a female body inspector.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I got the shirt. Wait till you see it at Starbase Indy at the Klingon party.
The problem is we've never heard that one, Brian. That's why it's so new. Okay, now, Mike.
I'm thinking more of Ferengi body inspector.
Oh no! See, he's the Klingon, and I relate myself to the Ferengi better. So, no, not today. Tell us about your guys' introduction to Star Trek. When you got interested in it, what your favorite series, movie, episode is?
Well, I've been a fan probably for about 20 years. I actually didn't like it when I first saw it, and a couple of my friends were fans, and I made fun of them, and now they really don't hold a candle to me. I've been a longtime fan. I've seen every episode of every series, all the movies, and I've seen all of them multiple times. I've read the comic books and read a bunch of the novels and a lot of the autobiographies, and I don't know. I'd say I'm obsessed with it, but you know, I hide it pretty well, I think, except
that,
you know, in front of these guys. And this is Mike, by the way. Chris?
Hey, Mike, I'll have to introduce you to Mark Williams at Starbase Indy. If you're even remotely near his level of Star Trek crazy, then, yeah, there's not too many people that's going to beat you. Mark has everything Star Trek. You name it. Even limited production models of stuff, props that was made for the shows, test props and stuff. He's got all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can't say that I own any props or anything like that, though.
You got your Batleth.
Yeah, I do have a Klingon Batleth. But when they put all that stuff up on the Christie's auction, I thought about bidding on some of it, but I don't have $10,000 for a tricorder, you know.
Neither do I. I know I can get a good Klingon command chair for $1,000.
That would look nice in my living room, but I don't think that my wife would like it.
I'll take mine to work. You know, keep it there at work and tell people you can't touch it. Well, I don't have very many props either. I mean, Brian and I both have this one.
Live long and prosper.
But, see? What I mean, but I mean that and a busted communicator because it, you know, was a defect. But my poor wife got that for me, so I can't complain. Okay, all right, Chris.
And he's got a Quark Dabo chip.
I do. Oh,
yeah,
you do. You do. I don't have no Dabo chip. You do.
Well, I've got your Dabo chip, but yeah, you do have one of them. As soon as I ever get it mailed out to you.
Oh no, just wait. I'll be there in 2 months.
Can't you just get those when you go to the Star Trek Experience? I mean, when it was still open?
No, this was a custom-made chip by one of the my friend Mark Williams I was telling you about earlier. Uh-huh. He's in with all the Star Trek people, and these were double chips extra double chips they had for the show. So
that's
I happened to get one of them. He gave me one to give to Lou.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, what? How about you?
Well, until recently, I could best be classified as a casual Star Trek fan. I've liked Star Trek for a long time, but I'd seen a lot of TNG and I'd seen a lot of the original series, but I hadn't seen any of the others. Well, maybe an episode here or there of Deep Space Nine, or I think I might have seen Enterprise once. But when Mike came to me with the project, and actually, it was kind of they were talking about it, and I overheard them, and I said, "Hey, you know, that sounds kind of neat." And so I just kind of wrote a song and brought it to them, and they liked it. So I started watching more and more and getting more into it. And I gotta say, I think our band has been kind of a gateway drug for me as far as getting into Star Trek, because now, I mean, I can't get enough of it. I've been reading comics, I've been watching the shows. I see interesting books on Star Trek, and I pick them up. It's really,
it's addictive.
Yeah, it is. It's really drawn me in, and I gotta say that, I really appreciate the show the original series. I really appreciate it way more than I ever would have thought I would have just by doing what we're doing here.
All right.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. You're not into you haven't gotten down to the Klingon episodes yet in the original series. How do you guys think you're going to handle dealing with all the nuances of that when you get into them, when you get down to them?
Well, basically, we're taking the episodes in order of.
Yeah, I know you are. That's why I say it'll be a while before you get down to the Klingons.
Right. It'll actually be on the second album when we get to Errand of Mercy, and that's actually one of my songs. that I haven't actually written it yet, but I think the Klingon episodes will probably definitely have a darker tone to them than some of the other ones.
Well, also, you know, the introduction of the Romulans with Balance of Terror, you know, I did that song, this is Chris, and I didn't even focus on the Romulans at all. Our songs, you know, some they don't necessarily go the direction you might expect sometimes.
Right.
So it just, depending on who's writing them and what idea we have, I mean, for the Naked Time, I took Spock sitting in a room crying and made the entire song about that. And if you've seen the episode, you know that lasts about 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Really, these songs can go anywhere. And I make mention, well, I make more than mention of Romulans, but I don't really say much about them except for they look like Vulcans. And so, I mean, as far as what Mike does with the Klingons, you know, maybe something like that, or he may really get into it. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It might be like a country line dancing song.
Yeah, but knowing Mike, it'll probably be a 30-minute epic.
Yeah.
Wow. The one I was interested in is when we first see our first Klingon. That was Friday's Child. I think it was Friday's Child. So yes, the one where they have to protect this one lady that's pregnant, and she names him after all.
Yeah, that is Friday's Child.
Yeah, that is Friday's Child.
I believe Aaron of Mercy aired before Friday's Child.
I think you're right.
It's a nerd off.
It's a nerd off. Yeah.
Everyone go to IMDb really quick.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. And I always make a joke of this next question. I plan to do this until I get the cease and desist letter from CBS telling me, you know, quit using Star Trek stuff in your show. How do you guys get around that with yours? Because we're not making any money off of this.
Well, what we do, I guess, could best be classified as a tribute. I mean, all of our songs are original. I had to deal with it yet, I guess, but, I mean, Mike, do you have...
Well, I guess the music, you're right, the music is the original, and I'm thinking of the video.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, that's what I was going to address. I mean, we're not planning on selling the videos or doing anything like that. We're just putting those up for fun.
The videos are purely for entertainment value.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to post them online for free. If people want to watch them, that's great. But we're not going to try and sell them in any form. As far as music, I borrowed about 5 seconds from Alexander Courage for one of the songs. And then as far as the show on this album, there's about a 2-second clip in one of the songs, which both of those are in the same song. But other than that, I mean, we haven't taken anything from the show.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all original music, lyrics. You know, we mention characters from the show, but, I mean, there's really, I mean, you know.
Yeah, they don't have a trademark on Miri.
Right. I mean, we mention Klingons and Romulans, and, you know, we can't get in trouble for that. I mean, if worst case scenario, we'll just file it under parody.
Yeah, also, yeah, I mean, you'll have a good fair use claim, because just like we're talking about Klingons as well.
Exactly.
I mean, you know,
I mean, it's like Chris said, it's a tribute. I mean, you think they would appreciate that we love the show.
Yeah.
So,
good.
I mean, hopefully, you know, anyone that would listen to it that would have any kind of, I don't know, that would have any kind of litigation in mind would think twice about it, because what we're doing is spreading our love of the show, which is something that benefits everybody.
Same here.
And I would hope that if we ever reach that point that it does become a problem, that we would be able to work out some sort of an arrangement with, you know, whoever owns
either
the rights.
Either that or
it
just gives
point.
Us a whole bunch of publicity.
Yeah. Well, that's true too.
Everybody wants to know who these guys are.
I think the only bit that I really take a chance on is this.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I mean, that's something that's probably going to be the only thing they'd actually say that I'm using of theirs. Beyond that, I'd say I'm in the fair use claim as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you guys sound interesting, so I'm going to pose a question that we ask just about everyone we interview. What do you guys think the officer in the brig does when the brig is empty of prisoners?
I don't think I should tell you the motion that Chris is making right now.
Oh, okay, I got a
feeling. Well, naturally, he practices his three-dimensional chess.
Now, Chris, was that motion you were making kind of similar to the bonk bonk motion?
No, I was simulating the playing of the three-dimensional chess.
I would say it was more close to the bonk bonk.
Yeah. Okay. Surfing 24th century porn.
Yeah.
Boy, that Andorian woman's looking kind of hot today. All right. Well, you guys have any questions for us?
Did you want to know how Andy feels about Star Trek? Because he never really got to...
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Before.
All right, here's Andy.
I was actually just approached by Mike here from one of the customers in his comic book store. He was mentioning that they were looking for a drummer for the Star Trek project, which was unnamed to me at that point. And so I came up here. It was a friend of mine that had suggested it. He played me a few of the acoustic demos, and I was hooked. And up until then, I was like Chris said, you know, more of like a casual fan. You know, I grew up with the series, watching it on like Saturday mornings back in St. Louis and stuff like that. And then they approached me about this project, and I'm like, all right, that episode sounds kind of familiar. I'm going to have to go back and watch it. So now I have all the box sets, and I'm going back through and just watching them all in order and getting hooked all over again, like I'm 12 years old again.
That's pretty cool. Now you said something during this about a comic book store. That's true geek. So tell me about that.
Oh,
happen to be sitting in it right now.
Yeah, right. That's where the interview is actually taking place right now.
Yeah, we are currently sitting in my comic book store. Doing this interview, which is actually where we started the band. The first time we got together to practice was right here after hours. We just brought our acoustics and just started showing each other our songs.
It's amazing. It's like Shades of the Big Bang Theory. I mean, they love the comic book store. They love Star Trek. What's the name of the store? Do you want to tell everyone?
Oh, sure. It's called Hero House Comics. We're in Indianapolis.
I recognize that name.
It's an area of town called Fountain Square. It's a little south of downtown. We've been here for over a year now, and I was actually at the Starbase Indie last year. Just
aren't
as
you guys
a dealer.
On Facebook?
Oh yeah, we're on Facebook. It's Facebook / Hero House Comics.
It's forward slash, but
forward slash nerd.
That's all right. Fanboys with attitude. Is that you guys?
Do what? Oh, yes, that's right. That I did not type that, but yes.
Someone did.
All right. My partner in the comic book store, his name is Wayne. He's the one who asked me to do the store with him. He named the store, and he already had the website up before we ever started it, and that's his website.
Great. Okay, yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and put that in there as well, if you don't mind.
Now, do you guys sell... just comics, or do you guys sell a variety of other stuff?
We've got all kinds of stuff. Besides comics, we have movies and games, T-shirts, toys, pretty much anything that a comic book store would have, you know, statues, and I'm kind of looking around right now.
Comic books.
Yeah, graphic novels,
buttons,
you know.
Wall, ceiling.
We also feature a whole section of like local CDs of like local bands and artists, and
we've got local comic books too.
Yeah, we try in local comic books. Yeah, we try to feature like, you know, the smaller guys, like the local produced stuff, and like people who do their own self published comics from around the world, and you know, we try to focus on that stuff less than, you know, like the giant. You know, even though, you know, that stuff sells for us, but, you know, we try to promote the little guys.
Okay, well then, how about we, what do you say we end the show or the end the interview with one more song?
Okay.
I say yes.
You say yes, Brian?
I say yes.
I say yes.
Here you go.
a memory or a dream or a completely different thing. Inside your brain, they make you feel insane. They burrow in your head, but they don't want you dead. She makes you feel. She's the only constant thing in a million different dreams. Sometimes she's green. You're not my hero. What are you doing in my world? You're not my hero. Why are you the one with the escape is to defeat them with your hate. But then they still catch up. You decide that you've had enough.
And that was Five Year Mission with The Cage. You're not my hero. And the question is, what are you doing with the girl? And of course, our instinct is to say, he's got the girl because he's Captain Kirk. But no, Kirk had nothing to do with that episode. That
nope.
was Captain Pike.
Yeah. Poor Captain Pike.
Poor Captain Pike.
Got to swing twice for yes, or was it twice for no?
I think it was once.
At least now in the alternate universe, he can speak.
That's true. That's true. He was in his own wheelchair. He can move his own wheelchair around in the alternate reality. But that's a different story.
For now.
You know, another thing about that episode was, number one, we all know who she was. Ended up being Mrs. Roddenberry. Well.
It was Nurse Chapel, wasn't it?
Nurse Chapel. Yep, she turned into Nurse Chapel because the network would never allow a female first officer. And, Brian, that's a topic you and I are going to discuss sometime, race and sex, gender. Make that race and gender on another episode. We're going to be doing that
the fire and brimstone for that one.
Uh-huh, and I'm going to have Byer Brown on for that one as well. You guys ever heard of Byer Brown?
Play the pipes. No. Play the pipes.
Play the pipes?
Yeah, play his intro.
Hmm. Okay.
Play the pipes.
Okay, yeah. Let's play an example of his last show.
You guys are going to love this.
I think so.
Hey, this is Bob Brown, the Big B Bomber, and welcome to this episode of The Blur, episode 17, entitled, I'm Bringing Sexy Skype. Remember that The Blur is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Also found on bbtas.com. Welcome to The Blur.
Good morning
to you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Blur with Byer Brown. You might have just walked out of the shower. Maybe you got your slippers on. Maybe you got a hot cup of coffee in your hand. No matter what the situation is, just sit down and let's relax and talk about the daily news or this morning. And I am your host, Byer Brown, kicking it with The Blur.
Did you know that the Tech Podcast Network has some awesome podcasts out there like Lou Trek from The Lou Trek Show, Norbert Davis from Totally Cool Tech, Kerry Holzman from Computer America, and Mike Smith from The Mike Tech Show? Go and check them out. Tell them Byer Brown sent you.
Hey, all you Blur Mania.
And you heard that Lou Trek from The Lou Trek Show, man. He is awesome.
I can't wait to have him on, man. Listen, I'm like Lou, man. You just get mesmerized when he starts talking.
Absolutely. And that's at bbtas.com. That will be in the... Anytime I get to talk to him, I get to put him in the show notes, so you'll have him in there.
Hey, Lou. Yeah. Why, we have them all here. Mm-hmm. We have to do one more thing.
Mm-hmm. What do we have to do?
We have to let them say hello and their name and welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Oh, that's right. I guess.
Tradition, guys.
If you guys want to do that, all you got to do is to say, hi, this is so-and-so, and you're listening to the Lou Trek Show. Or, you know, you could say, like, I don't know, this is Mike Rittenhouse of... You know, 5-year mission, and you're listening to Lou Trek Show. How's that?
There you go.
All right. Well, you all can do it. So I'll mute Brian. Okay. Mute and give it a whirl.
Hi. This is 5-year mission.
And you're listening to the Lou Trek Show. That was awful.
Let's try that again. Okay, you ready?
Hi, this is 5-year mission, and you're listening to the Lou Trek Show.
Awesome. That was almost like the Borg talking. Right.
It was the Borg.
Yeah, I may loop that a few times and turn it into the Borg.
Yeah. Hey, that's say hi, this is 5-year mission, and you'll be assimilated by the Lou Trek Show.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
You're about assimilated.
Okay, let me mute and let you guys do it.
Okay.
You're about to be
about to. Five.
You're about to be assimilated by the Lou Trek Show.
Hi, this is 5-year mission. You're about to be assimilated by the Lou Trek Show.
I messed up. Oh, no, that was good. That was good.
No, that was great.
Yeah, absolutely, it was good. All right, well, hey, I want to thank you guys for coming on and talking to us. And we will see.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you at Starbase Indy. We'll be the 2 tons of fun at the table.
We want you in the. We want to see you in the front row.
Yeah, there better be a Ferengi and a Klingon in the front row.
Well, I can't guarantee. I can't guarantee the Ferengi, but I'll guarantee the Klingons will be there.
Yeah.
Either that, or at least two large Orion slave girls.
That'll be acceptable.
No. You cannot touch my daughter.
Oh no.
I'm talking about you, Brian.
Oh, no way. If I went on Ryan, I'd have so many people on me, I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. It's hard for me to be an Orion slave girl with all the facial hair, too. Yeah, I don't have any of the makeup, so... But you know what I've been wondering? I
have the makeup, Lou.
Well, I don't. But, I mean, no, I mean the
I don't know if
Ferengi
I've got that
stuff.
Much body paint to cover both of us.
Oh, good God, no. No, Sherwin-Williams wouldn't have enough.
But Lowe's would.
I want to go Halloween. I want to go trick-or-treating out as a Borg. I think I'd scare the crap out of the kids. Don't you think? All right.
It's a little blue.
Yeah.
A little scary.
They just look at you and go, ew, cool.
I'll show up at my daughter's school like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate you, Dad.
How old is your daughter?
Yeah, 8. And that's exactly what she'll do. I hate you. Oh, yeah. I'll put about half the school into therapy.
So. I'm going to have to come over to your guys' shop and say hi to you guys.
There you go. Yeah, he's there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm right there. You know where Ingles is?
You can go there.
Okay. You guys know where Pendleton Prison is at?
Yeah.
Okay. If you come down 67, right, I'm the next small one drive through Hicktown after it.
Okay.
That kind of sounded like you know where Pendleton Prison is. I'm actually a resident there.
Yeah.
Just one phone call
for
today.
Yeah, right, Lou.
Yeah. All right. All right, guys.
One of the most deadliest prisons in the country, and you're a resident there? I don't think so.
Okay. Former resident. Okay. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for coming on, man.
No problem.
All right. Take care, buddy. And now it's time for Trek's Birthday. The Lou Trek Show is proud to wish a very happy birthday to those who have made Trek the wonderful, happy place it is. Happy birthday wishes go out to... And I'll start this out with one of my personal favorites on Star Trek. He played on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He played on Star Trek Enterprise. He was most notably known as Brun, FCA, or Wayoon. Again, both of those were on Star Trek Enterprise. Or the Andorian Shran on Star Trek Enterprise. I'm sorry, Brun and Wayoon were on Deep Space Nine. And we're talking about Geoffrey Coombs, who was... born in 1954 on September 9th, so that would make him 55 years old today, the day that this show goes out. So here is one that I would absolutely love to interview on this show, would be Geoffrey Coombs. And I think I'm going to give that a try. What do you think?
Sounds great. Let's bring him on.
Absolutely.
Now, I have a person here who can claim his claim to fame is that he got as much action as Commander Riker did. You want to know why? Dan Coco actually was Jonathan Frakes' stunt double.
Oh, Jonathan Frakes? Really?
Yes, he was.
Okay. All right.
So who do you have next?
Well, here's another one that's a big one that I have to mention. But although I don't know why you're not mentioning it. Because I like her, too. She played Lieutenant Belana Torres. And, of course, we're talking about Roxanne Dawson. Roxanne, yeah, she's pretty... I like her. And she would be another one. Since we've had mostly Voyager interviews, why not try and get her on, too?
Well, I have a DS9 female Klingon. That's why I let you have Roxanne. Okay. Mary Kay Adams, very much known as the House of Quark. Quark's Klingon mate.
Ooh, yeah. She was a hottie, too.
She was a hottie.
All right. Okay, and then we also have here Susan Gibney. And if you don't remember who she was, do you remember who she was, or should I tell you what she did on Star Trek? I guess that means I should tell you. She played Geordi the Forge's wet dream on the holodeck, Dr. Leo Bronze.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm bad.
You're bad. She was in Booby Trap and Galaxy's Child, and she hates what he's done to her engines. So, I don't know.
Well, I have one here. I'm going to snitch one from you here. Mm. I'm going to say, have you ever met the Browns?
Nope, I don't think so.
Well, then you need to watch the show, and then while you're watching it, you can thank the creator for it, Tyler Perry. Oh, believe it or not.
Tyler Perry was on there? What did he play?
He played the Admiral in the last Star Trek movie.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes, folks, a comedian can play Star Trek roles. Serious ones, too.
I would imagine. I think it could be a good place for comedians, I would say. Okay, how about Virginia Madsen? She's a kind of a hottie.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. She was in the Star Trek Voyager episode Unforgettable as Kellen, K-E-L-L-I-N. She made her film debut in 1983, co-starring with Star Trek Generations actor Alan Ruck. Oh, I like him.
Now, mine? Bring on this TOS music, folks. I have our favorite Navigator coming on. Walter Koenig. Folks. Da 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 da. Walter, I'll be nice and won't mention how old you actually are, but happy birthday to you.
Walter, what happened to you? Come back to us, Walter. Don't be so snotty. Come back to us, please.
You can't blame all of this on his kid. He wasn't happy where he was at when the last time we saw him, too.
I know.
Had some problems with them, too, so it wasn't just his son.
Yeah. I know, he's going through hell, so maybe I should back off on his Trekfest appearance. Okay. And that was Trek birthdays. I'm sure there was a whole lot more, but, really, we don't know them, so it's kind of silly to talk about them. All right, let's go ahead and call it a night. What do you say, Brian?
Okay, don't forget to add the Navy in.
We're going to add more stuff next week, but...
Oh, God, no, 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 no. I will have to have a Borg invasion at your house.
In the Navy.
Night.
Good night, Brian. All right. Everybody, thank you for downloading and listening to tonight's show. It was certainly great having you here listening. Thank you to the 5-Year Mission for coming on and interviewing, and we will see you at Starbase Indy. Take care, and good night.
Kapla.